Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Max Show. Yes, we're in our new flooded out studio. We've painted all the walls white just because of the fact it's far easier to keep clean once it starts raining. So enjoy in our new premises. Joining me for the Max Show, an absolutely incredible bunch. Starting us off, top left, it's the Doc. How you doing, man?
How you doing? Good, man. Great. Vacation's awesome. Portland has amazing food. It's just cold as hell.
So you have
I saw Kelly the other night. We were singing karaoke, and it was pretty hilarious.
So you haven't, you on there on vacation, you're not gone there for a business reason or anything like that?
Nope. The only business I'm doing this trip is talking to you lot.
Brilliant. So what is there in Portland that would pull a man from Hawaii there?
Well, not for me personally, because but you guys love beer. There's beer every 5 feet here. It's called Beervana, Beertopia, and a bunch of other weird hats you see everybody wearing.
Okay.
But my favorite part of it is, honestly, man, the food here is epic. You know, something about the water and the mountain grow or whatever, but, like, everybody uses local ingredients. Everybody is super, like, craftsmanzy about their food. Like, it's pretty crazy. You can definitely feel the uptake in food quality. And I've been to great food cities, you know, like LA, New York, Tokyo, San Diego even. But I think Portland got a foot on the neck of San Diego right now. They still got a while before they catch LA and New York, but that's just the bougie back there.
So you've
but their food game is high. It's worth going just for that.
You spent a couple of $1,000s to do nothing else but drink and eat.
You mock me? This is what I do, son.
Oh, okay. My mistake. Apologies. Next to him, it's Adam. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
San Diego's right. Good for food, apparently.
We're all right. I think we've got the edge on Portland now, finally, on the beer thing. But
as long as you like IPA. Too. As long as you like IPA.
Yeah, there is a lot of IPA. It's changing, though. It's changing, luckily.
You're finally realizing it's hoppy crap.
I don't know. No, me personally, I like the dark stuff mostly, but
good.
I like a good IPA too, though.
Porters, you know that's where it's at. Porters, mate. Next to him,
Imperial Stout.
Good man. Go. Well cued there for Brett. He's back. How you doing, mate?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, well, I'm okay. I'm glad you're still well and alive. Have you moved rooms or something?
Because yes.
This looks a different.
No,
room.
I've added wiring. More equipment.
Of course, it's just what
I
needed.
I took my keyboard out.
Cool. Are you playing it more or?
Yeah. For just writing MIDI parts, it's not great for actually playing piano on little plastic keys.
Are you well? Because you weren't well the last time we spoke.
No. I am quite well. I'm fit and happy.
Good.
And the sun is shining and it's going to be 40 degrees today. I'm great.
Oh, so all the snow's gone. Brilliant.
So no more doing the shining and sticking your head out the door.
Did you just say all the snow's gone? I wish I could show you outside because there's still about 3 feet on most of the ground.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's going to take a while.
I'd have thought 40 degrees would have started the thaw.
It starts to thaw and then you get mush and then in mid-April, it'll start to be gone.
Oh, bloody hell. Okay. Well, we're whinging about a little bit of snow here in the UK at the moment, and it's supposed to come back again this weekend. So we're all bracing.
Yeah, we usually get four feet plus just in March. So it's, I'm not going to see grass for a while.
I'm not complaining anymore then. That's fine. Next
thing. There's plenty of grass in Portland.
Why, are you eating that as well?
Hell yes.
Locally sourced.
We're just going to, there's going to be a satellite image come over or we're going to go on ISS live and it's going to fly over Portland and just be teeth marks in the coastline. Where Doc's been. James Rickard is here in the south of France.
Bonsoir, bonsoir. 9 degrees here and it's chilling, freezing and it's raining. So you're not missing anything, folks.
Apart from the fact you're having dinner with two lovely ladies.
Yes, my wife's still away. So I was taken out for lunch yesterday, which is nice. And they paid, which was lovely.
Oh, dear me, James. You didn't let them shag you, did you?
No, of course not.
Oh, wow.
All lovely people. So anyway, they're cooking and I know they're taking me out tonight. Then they're cooking for me tomorrow night. So Yeah, it's lovely. It's lovely. I'm having a great time. Although the wife's back next Wednesday, so.
All the Americans think that letting them shag you is going for a dance somewhere, which they don't really like. They'll have to that one.
No one thinks that.
And last but by no means least, the man who is going to give us another Crucified Classic, I hope, because I got a bloody letter of complaint last week, Green, because you weren't here to do a Crucified Classic. Someone actually complained that you didn't murder a song.
Well, I will take complaint with the fact that they say that I'm murdering a song. I think I'm pretty good.
I said that, not them. They said that the rendition of Status Quo was inspired.
Yeah, it was.
It was. And they've made a request as well that you need to sing Wonderwall for next week.
To be honest, I haven't been lazy. I did start working on it. It's a little bit more tricky than you would think, because you would think that like Wonderwall would be like four chords or something. But they're complicated chords, and you have to bar it and move your little finger about four frets down it as well, down the uke. So I did start to try.
The ukes are hard.
The only problem I've got with the uke is, so as a pianist or piano player, whatever you want to call it, it's easy for me to remember the chords, but with a uke, remembering the chords are a little bit more different. So you can play a chord that you've learned from tablature, but actually remembering that, I've just played F or C or G7 or something like that, I'm struggling with. So I need, I don't know, some sort of a hypnotic tool to
familiarity and practice, mate.
Huh?
Familiarity and practice. I'm just wondering whether you're making excuses for poor performance that you're out to give.
No. I like to think I never give a poor performance. And
I've heard that. So go on. What are you?
But you've got to give me.
What are you going to grace us with this week, mate? Anything?
Well, it's right. Well, there is a story behind this one.
Okay.
So, my best friend died of cancer, and his wife gave me his ukulele. And I was on iTunes, and at his funeral, the tune he wanted was the tune that I'm going to play. And it bizarrely, I hadn't bought it, but it said, "See you in my dreams" is downloading, and so I played it on iTunes. And how weird is that? That "See You in Dreams" was at his funeral. That was his pick. It's his ukulele, and so I've been learning it, but I can only play a very short amount of it.
We just need to satisfy people to the point that they don't write and complain.
Right. Okay then.
Well, that's fine. Go for it.
It's tuned as well. This is the Joe Brown version. I don't get my fingers right. Oh, it still doesn't sound ace, but right. Oh, hold on. Right. Give me a second.
All right, okay. In your head, so I can edit.
I'll keep on keeping on. Right. Though the days are long. Well, I need to move chords now.
Well, we've gone from Crucified Classics to Stilted Classics. Right, just own up, Greenie. You haven't practiced this week, have you?
I have. This is a really complicated. I'll give up that. It's a really complicated song, and I want to do it justice.
Let's hack on with the show then, mate, and you have a go next week, because the Cylon in audio is not helping. Your connection's a bit shit, mate, so we'll have a go.
I think Crockett there spent too much time last week chasing down cocaine dealers and hookers.
Yes, you do look like Will Green off Miami Vice.
Oh shit, sir. Yeah, I did actually say that. I think I'm rocking it. Don Johnson, I think his name is.
Don Johnson, yeah. Yeah, right? With the light out, you look like Tubbs.
I'm pretty much as sharp as you can get.
Mate, I'm impressed. I just
sleeves up.
You got to roll the sleeves up. That's a good point, Brett. Yeah.
I think he's trying to step up to Chuck level, and he's getting there.
Why are you crushing, son? You always give me grief about how I look. Sometimes you say I'm really sharp. Sometimes you
Well, I'm good. Just I'm glad the court case went well. That's all that matters.
Yeah, it did. So I'm you're off for at least
rocking the Don months. Johnson, and it looks good on you.
It looks good on you, yeah. Especially with the designer stubble. Awesome. Doc's getting cold. He's got his hat on.
Yes.
Don't they have heating in hotel rooms?
If I turn it on, I'm sitting right here. All you guys will hear is that.
Oh, right. Okay. He's going to...
Because it's barely an arm's length away.
He has to choose between Wi-Fi or heat.
Yes. Yes. Good answer.
Love it.
Are you going to drop out when you order room service in a minute?
No, I don't do that.
Munch your way through.
The mini bar. Do not open the mini bar.
Yeah, can I have the dead cow, please, with a side of the entire potato production of Portland. The week in Apple. What's going on? What's big? What's happening? I'll start with a positive one. Apple adds new family section to its website with tips for parents. I was actually quite impressed with this. There's some really good advice on there for people that. It does go back to the I have no idea what my kids are doing online kind of thing level and pulls you forward. It's not going to help people like us much, I don't think, but it's definitely a positive, because especially given that Apple has to refund an awful lot of money, I guess, each year for purchased items as well. Adam, have you had a play with it? You're the resident web man.
I went and looked at it, and I sent it off to a couple of friends I know who have asked me many times about how to set up controls for their kids and that sort of thing. So and I think it's great. You know, it's great that it's an information source for parents who want to learn a little bit more about this. You know, I, of course, always start the conversation, though, with really like everything else when you're raising kids. It's about... First and foremost, just talking to your kids and being involved and being aware. And then these tools can help you on top of that if you want. But, you know, I think it's good. I think it's ultimately good. But I have a little bit of a problem. I think we talked about this in the past. I had a little bit of a problem with the I don't think technology is the solution to this problem. It's great that Apple makes more tools available and things like that. But you know, like everything in life, there's better ways to go about this sort of thing. It's a multi-tier effort, I guess. And so it's good to see Apple stepping up.
Yeah. But I mean, even Ellis is leaving me behind with a few things. I mean, it's the stuff that he does now that I'm kind of, especially stuff like Instagram, where he's very well versed in it and I'm not. Stuff like that is really quite good for a lot of parents to get into.
Yeah, but I mean, again, but you know, like just sitting out, hey, what's this thing about? I don't know what it's about. I mean, like, tell me why you're into it. Tell me why this thing is cool. What are you doing on there? And just having that conversation with your kids goes along the way, you know? And then
top of it. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you have to applaud Netflix for their child-friendly view of it, and also
the profiles are good on Netflix.
And YouTube, that's the other one. YouTube have a child-friendly channel, and you have to applaud those, I think. And it would be quite nice if iTunes could put that in there as well, so the applications available to children are appropriate, I think.
I've got to applaud.
Well, they have those controls. I mean, that's part of what this website's about, right? Is because I have those on my kids' accounts, and I have it on my HBO account, and I have it on my Netflix. And the Netflix thing, you're absolutely right. Like, seeing the ability to block individual shows is kind of a cool new feature. And again, it's great to have these technology tools. But with iTunes, you know, I go in and set the age ratings on the TV shows and the restrictions and the movies and things like that on my kids' devices. And it's mostly, you know, they know they're not supposed to go look at certain things, and they're pretty, you know, I'm lucky, knock on wood, my kids are pretty good about it. But, you know, then adding the technology on top of that, just so they don't wander accidentally in a place. That's my bigger fear, is it's very easy online and in places to just wander into bad spaces. Like, even things like when, even like the iBooks store, you know, there's a lot of fiction in certain genres, and just the book covers in those genres can sometimes be like shocking, or even album covers and things like that. So they can certainly take things a little bit further. But again, you know, technology is a great tool to have, but it's not a solution.
It's that whole piece, isn't it? It's education for everybody involved. I think it's very easy to blame companies like Apple and all these other people. But the fact is, you know, if you put an iPad into your kid's hands, you've got to know, you know, what the iPad's capable of doing. And it comes down to the parents at the end. You know, you're the responsible one, not the child. So it's your job to do the homework. I was lucky my kids kind of missed that whole internet thing. They kind of just, you know, didn't have to worry too much about them during it. But I sort of, my son's going to have a child in June, and it's one of those things, it's a strange world to be living in now, because as you said, you can turn a corner very easily when doing something quite innocent. And I think what's happening?
Even just ads on websites. I mean, like, you look at some of the ads, or if you're even on, you know, even with controls in place, you're on something like Pinterest, or you're on any place where people can post images, and stuff is going to come up. So, like, even with all the blocks and controls, I still have to have those conversations with my kids, like, hey, you are going to see these things, you know, and when it's appropriate. You know, again, you've got to judge your kid and your age, and everybody's different in maturity levels and your own sort of feelings about certain things and guidelines and stuff like that. It's individual for everybody. But what's great about a site like this, or Apple putting together a site like this, like I said, is I was able to send this to a couple friends who I know are a little bit confused by this. And now there's an information resource with links and things that they can proactively see. Okay, now I understand what technology tools I have available to me to put into this mix. And that's really cool.
Is there a good financial reason for making this kind of thing as well, though? Because, you know, there must be a
investors
shit I have to unpick department in Apple that they probably shouldn't have to unpick, but they end up having to.
You know, it was investors were all complaining about it because, you know, they hear from the mainstream media and whatnot about, you know, the dangers of smartphones, the dangers of smart devices. And to me, like, okay, granted, number one, I'm not a parent, so I'm not even going to begin to tell you about your parenting skills. But to me, it's just weird because U.S. has got into this thing where, like, everybody is supposed to be responsible for protecting kids. And I think what's funny about it is there, even in the U.S., there's sort of a cultural divide, right? As a kid of two colors, in people of color's house, all of this stuff is right out in the open. Like, nobody hides it, no one whatever. But it's a known quantity that you just don't do this, right? So, for instance, our parents would never be like, oh, you can't say that in front of the kids. My parents, my elders around me, they would drop whatever profanity was necessary to make the statement the way that they were making it. But it was a known quantity for us, even as an adult, all the way into my 40s when my mom passed away. I never as once blurted a profane statement in front of my mom. Now, granted, she could turn on a podcast and hear me cussing you guys out, but it was never in the same room where she was. And that's sort of considered okay. And then I would say, like, my uncles and that, they would have their, you know, their Playboys or their R-rated movies or whatever just on the table. You just don't touch it. There was a certain element of parenting that was based off of respect and fear that kids didn't want to do dumb stuff. So I get it, but I also hate the fact that we're at this point where we have to do so many things to quote unquote protect people that should just be straight up parenting where your kids respect you enough not to do anything that a thought wouldn't even come into question. And most of us grew up in that time.
I think the good conversation, though. Sorry, go ahead.
Most kids don't want to do dumb stuff in front of their parents. It's like you didn't swear in front of your parents, and I can only speak for myself. I sought out everything before the internet existed. I was finding porn and anarchist cookbook. And like there are plenty of kids that when the parents aren't looking, it matters less to them.
Of course.
I was raised in a strict home. I never swore in front of my parents. Like I was a decent kid. My screen just went to sleep somehow.
We're still seeing you. Don't worry.
So
you're fine.
And I'm not a parent. Instead of kids, I had a vasectomy. The petitions.
lot cheaper, mate. Loads cheaper.
A former Apple person petitioning, leading a whole movement against smartphones in general right now, about the dangers, like Doc said, about the dangers of smartphones. And honestly, reading through it, I think there are dangers that go beyond what parents ever faced when they were a kid. So it's kind of new territory. They're not sure how to deal with just the massive amount of information and the notifications and the social pressures. And I'm happy to see Apple doing something, whether it's based on, you know, complaints from investors or petitions or actual reality.
The main thing that's changed is the immediacy, like you're saying, the immediacy and the volume of information and stuff that kids have access to. But I mean, the underlying issue that we're talking about, you know, because they're talking about too much screen time and too much access to this, that, or the other. Just like you were saying, Brett, nothing has changed fundamentally with kids and what they want to do. Like when I was growing up, the screen time was too much television. You know, kids were watching way too much television, and what was on television was not, you know, appropriate, and they had access to this, that, and the other. And so now here we fast forward, and now it's the internet. And again, I agree, the volume and sort of the depth of information that you could get at, like, you know, the kinds of pornography that we could find in Playboy or Penthouse or whatever magazines.
And the TV was in your living room. Like your parents had easier control. It's not in your bedroom, in your bed with you.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, and again, like parents have to decide on certain things, you know, like where are you going to allow screens, where, you know, all of these things are just new questions and new sort of things that you have to grapple with. But the underlying reasons why you're dealing with those aren't any different than they have ever been, right? Kids are going to want to go out and find things and explore things. They're going to hear about things. And that's part of growing up. And some of that's important, right? But I think the bigger problem comes into play when too many parents are becoming way too apathetic about this stuff or feeling like they can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And that's why like things like Apple putting out the information is important, to know that parents go, well, you do have choices, you do have tools, you do have resources that can help you figure this stuff out. Don't just give up and go, well, okay, they're going to do whatever and fine, I don't want to deal with it. Let them sit on their iPad for 8 hours. And I think there's a lot of things going on.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The advertising part worries me sometimes. I mean, if we look at a product like this, Harry's Razors.
Said the bearded. You're not getting sponsored by them, are you now?
No,
he is.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not. I honestly am not. But
get off.
It's a really great close shave that I can. I'm genuinely not.
This podcast and all the others is not supported by bloody Harry's Razors.
No, I know. It's
so they know you've
but
got a
advertising
beard,
works. Like I bought that bloody thing through Well, it's on all podcasts at the moment. I bet if you listen to the Mattcast properly, it'd be on there. And BTN, maybe. I don't know. Is anybody sponsored by Harry's Razors here?
No, we're not.
Not me, obviously.
No, I'm not either. So I'm really not.
Going just back to the subject in hand, I think the other point is that, and we've done it on this podcast here straight away, we've alighted onto the idea of porn, and I couldn't care less about Ellis watching porn. If he wants to watch it, so be it. It's up to him. And when he confessed he had, I was like, well, okay, mate. So, you know, what do you think? Yeah, it's a bit boring. Yeah, all right, there you go. Not great.
I would be like you.
You know, it's not real, right? It opened up an opportunity for a conversation. But the thing that's really serious about online stuff has nothing to do with porn. And everyone lights on to the porn, the Christian fundamentalists and that kind of stuff, always light onto porn. Suicide rates are doubled since the inset of social media. Teen suicide rates are double what they used to be, having declined for two decades up to 2010. And that's the...
You would figure it would go down.
Well, the problem is you're now, again, it's the scope of everything. You got to think about when we're in school, you're going to school, you have access to the bullies at school. Now you have online, that is now vastly opened up. You have kids putting stuff up on YouTube, you have kids putting stuff up, and now they're available to be bullied and picked on by a much wider audience. Those are the kinds of things that are going on and driving those sorts of things up, right? Like it's the mass amount of information that's going back and forth. That's the problem. But again, the underlying solution is really, it just becomes more important that we're talking to our kids, we're having conversations with our kids, we're engaged, and more, it's easy to become not engaged because again, parents are also overwhelmed by all of the information. And I mean, think about even how you do business. I think about how I do business on a daily basis. And it's like, sometimes I just have to turn devices off because clients will be calling. They have instant access to sending me messages via 27 different methods, you know? So it's a lot about it. A lot of it is just about managing your information and, you know, like, you have to be a little bit more active, a little bit more proactive. And it's easy. It's very easy to tune out. As we all know, it's very easy to get distracted and turned away from it. And I know as a parent, I'm having to constantly think about this and keep myself constantly in check. But I think my parents had to do the same thing, maybe not at the same level, but you know, they were doing that as well. So
I think my parents had to do the same thing, but it was about teaching you to have thick skin. I mean, like, I wouldn't wish this upon anybody, but growing up as a biracial kid in the early 70s, where bullying is what we call the fun stuff. I didn't get bullied. I got straight up hazed. I went to an all white school. I was one of five black or Latino kids collectively, right? And I counted for two of them. And so I just had thick skin. Like whatever happened to not.
No. So hang on, Doc. Let's not confuse this. And this is what Adam's saying, and I agree totally. Is that the problem that you have now is that basically, fundamentally, people are cowards because they won't stand toe-to-toe with you. That's the point. And when you had people who were stood toe-to-toe to you, you became inured to it and you saw through them, or you got the better of them, or they got the better of you, but you realized eventually that getting hit didn't hurt so bad. But they're not hitting people in the face. They're hitting people in the brain, and they are. That's the trouble, is it's insidious shit. It's got nothing
to do with... It happens to adults too, yeah.
It's got nothing to do with thick skin. That really does take it to a level that is way below what the issue is about. It's like, okay. Even if, and people, Jordan in the chat room here is going about, well, I'll just get my kids done. I'm really going to make sure my kids know how to lose the block button. Great, fantastic. But the problem is that you'll get someone will come up and show you the social media of someone else and show you something that someone else has said about you, even though you block that person. It follows you everywhere. It's like shit to fur. It's disgusting. And the one thing I've been doing with Ellis
is in the articles I've read about teen suicide rates in the era of social media, it's been 50% also about things like Instagram literally being designed to make you think that everyone is better looking, richer, and having more fun than you all the time. So like all the depression and angst and anxiety that kids are already going through, suddenly they're even more alone, even if no one believes them, which honestly is definitely the other 50%. But there's no one to tell them that that person's only showing you the best part of their life too. and you could, you know, you could polish your presence and be just as good as them, but it doesn't feel like that. Even as an adult, it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah. Or even bigger, just making stuff up. I mean, and I know parents and adults that deal with this stuff with their friends on Facebook and things like that. It's honest. We have some friends and she's like, my sister just posts this perfect thing of her life. And that's not her life. I know her. I know what she's going through. It's not, you know, all you right. see is
like
the
Doc good photoshopped stuff. His trip to Portland and everything. So,
yeah, I mean, and again, you're absolutely right. The solution is getting to your kids early and having these conversations saying, look, these are the things that you're going to come across. This is the reality. And there's just a lot, unfortunately, there's not a lot of that happening. In a lot of places. And, you know, I'm not trying to throw blame on parents. This is all very hard stuff, but having these conversations is what's going to change it. You know, like the conversation we're having here is super important. And I just encourage people, you know, like treat your kids like they're smart and they know stuff because they do, you know, and I try to learn from my kids every day and find out what they're into. And we have this conversation back and forth. And when stuff comes up, you know, you have to deal with it head on. And you're kind of right. I mean, part of the problem with social media too, versus what it was like when we were kids, is even if it didn't come to fisticuffs in the schoolyard, you were at least face-to-face, like dealing with it directly, right? Yeah. It wasn't this nefarious, insidious thing that, you know, some of it went on behind your back, but when you found out about it, you went and you dealt with it head-to-head and face-on. And it's a little bit easier to process that way, right? That if you don't even know who your attackers are, it's got to be incredibly frustrating.
We've got a problem the other way around actually at the moment, because we've been so proactive about talking to both of the kids about online safety and that kind of stuff. And look, if anyone talks to you, just talk to me, or talk, you know, if you're in any doubts, come and talk to us. We'll have an open conversation about it. No one's going to get blamed. We've got truth time on it.
Right.
And Ellis has started taking a paper round, and he's got a guy there who's got a crappy letterbox, and the papers he buys don't fit through the letterbox. So he has to ring the bell, and the guy answers the door and he hands them over. And he came back the other morning. He said, I met the bloke that I had to give the things to. And I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. He said he answered the door and he said, hi, are you the new paper boy? He said, yeah, I'm Ellis. He said, all right, hi. I'm going to say Mike because I don't want to slander the guy. He said, yeah, I'm Mike. And so they shook hands. And I was impressed that Ellis shook hands with him. And then it struck me after about 10 minutes after the conversation, I was like, we haven't told him anything about don't go in the back and see his puppies. You know, we haven't done that. We've been so focused on doing the online conversation, we forgot to tell him, look, don't go in the place with the guy, with the creepy bloke who hasn't got a letterbox.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's not for a reason.
Weirdo. No, he's not. From what
I can tell you guys something. This actually tickled my heart. Me and my buddy, my partner at the woodshop, we were sitting around having lunch the other day. And, you know, on Wednesdays in Hawaii, kids get out of school early. So we heard there's a park, literally. We opened our gate where you drive in to drop off the pallets of wood. Right in front of that gate, there's a little park. I'm talking a total of maybe 10 meters away. And we heard a little commotion going on in the park, so we got up from the lunch table and went to go take a peek. And there was a group of kids, probably about 20 deep, and there was about to be an altercation. But what tickled my heart is they went old school. So first there's the tall kid, like, right? And the tall kid goes up, you know, he's about like Barry Fox height, and he goes, okay, listen, it's going to be one-on-one. Your set of friends don't jump in. Your set of friends don't jump in. Try to keep it fair. Don't nobody pick up any rocks or sticks. It's just boom. And once we call a fight, whoever's the winner is the winner, and that's over. No more lip, right? And then they all agreed. And so the guy made them shake hands first, and then he backed up, and the two kids, they walked around in circles for a couple of minutes. And finally, they had a good old, you know, fisticuffs kind of thing. The little kid knocked the big kid down three times. So the tall kid, who was sort of the ref, he walked over and he picked the big kid off the ground, dust him off, and be like, that's it. Like, we don't want to hear about this anymore. Like, game over, he beat you fair and square. End the conversation, shake hands. They shook hands. All the group of kids all started hugging each other, and they went their merry way. And we were like, my buddy Day and I, we were just like, that's the way it used to be. That's the way it should still be now. Instead of this worry about, you know, guns or knives or whatever. It's like, that was an old school, like, you know, 1970s after school fight,
yeah, but
done properly.
Doc, how much did you win?
I didn't win anything.
You know, my partner, we should bet, but you didn't bet. You know, you and your buddy walked out and went $20 on the little one.
No, I wanted to. We thought that'd be kind of creepy, so we didn't bet. But I just thought it was great to see kids of the modern era actually have an old school after school fight. And, you know, nobody was really, really hurt, but whatever was the beef got solved.
The Max Show, yeah. Promoting pugilism. There we go. That's what we need. Eddie Chu, the iTunes chief, has said, we're all in on original content, which scares the shit out of me based on our crap carpool karaoke is now. And he's also presiding over one of the fastest growing music services in the world. 2 million subscribers in 5 weeks have added on to Apple Music. And I have to say, unsearchable as it is and horrid as it is at selections when you use it through Siri, I do like my Apple Music subscription. I can't complain too much.
I like mine too. On the TV content stuff, I'll just say, I mean, if the rumors are to be believed, I mean, I don't think Carpool Karaoke is a good example to hold up because they are hiring. I mean, they've hired a pretty high-end executive team that's managing all that stuff. We know the two former Sony execs and some pretty big names from the entertainment industry. And then also just based on the shows that they've signed up, they seem to be going after top quality talent. I mean, they're not afraid to spend money there as near as I can tell. So, you know, they should get a couple good shows out of it. And I think of even like Amazon or Netflix, they're doing the volume thing. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but it feels to me like maybe they're at a 30-40% hit rate, at least for me, in terms of shows, and other shows are just like, oh, that's just kind of whatever.
But surely Carpool Karaoke showed you can't just chuck money at it. Karaoke. But surely you can't. Yeah, that showed, I mean, you can't chuck money at it.
They're doing a second season, so somebody's watching it. You know, I don't know. It's maybe not for us, but. You know, who's to say? Like everything on Netflix, you know, everything Netflix does or Amazon does is not for me either. So,
what's coming in the pipeline? You're all excited about from Apple.
I'm really excited about the reboot of Amazing Stories because I loved that show when I was a kid, and I'm hoping they do really well with it. The sci-fi series that it sounds like they're working on. Trying to remember the name of the guy behind that. Sounds really good. They're doing that M. Night Shyamalan series. So that could be interesting. There's a lot of good, interesting shows that sound like they're coming.
It's for me, so I'm on Netflix and stuff, but when I see a Netflix original, I think, oh no, I don't watch that. And I'm sure that's a very sort of snobbish. And I don't mean it to be. But most of the stuff, and apologies to all Americans, both on the show and around the world, it tends to be pretty rubbish. It strikes me as, and it would be nice to see Apple sort of dip their toe into the water and say this is an Apple original, which I'm sure they'll do, but. The quality of the stuff that Netflix have been providing, I don't know, for me anyway, at least personally,
I agree,
it's just not up there.
No, the shit,
right? Dude, you're on drugs. There's some really, really good Netflix stuff, originals, yeah, out there,
really good stuff,
like really good, like award-winning stuff that should be popping off.
Right, hang on,
is that because American?
No. I think I get what Will's saying here, because I agree there is some absolute gems in Netflix, but the problem is there's so much of it hitting the screen that if you pick the one that looks like shit, and there are quite a lot out there that do look like shit, you suddenly put that trend against everything, and you miss some of the diamonds in the hay pile.
That was what I was alluding to earlier, is like they're just doing it. Both Netflix and Amazon are doing this volume thing, right? They're spending $7 billion, $10 billion, whatever they're spending, and they're just making everything they can possibly make. And you're lucky if, you know, 30% of it is good, and it's probably lower than that, right?
See, here's the reason why you can do that, though. I'm not to defend Netflix, but just to give you an idea of why you can do that. in the past, what would be considered niche, like high-end niche stuff? Your what's that channel called? AMC or TMC or even USA Network, stuff like that. That was sort of few and far between. Like, I can say right now, a show like Dear White People, which none of you guys have probably watched, but I have, would never get greenlighted on any network anywhere. But it's extremely amazing, and it's extremely well written, and it covers sort of the view of a very eclectic world from a person of color standpoint. No one else would ever have the guts to put this out there, right? In the Line of Duty, which is a great UK cop show, Mindhunter, which is another great show, Bojack Horseman probably would have never seen the light of day on regular TV. So because they don't have the cost per se of a regular style cable network or whatever, they can take chances on the niche stuff. And so what they do is they put out really, really good niche content. And it's going to change, because I just yesterday here in Portland watched Gringo, which is Amazon Studios' first real box office movie first and then pull it back. It was incredible. And I was like, wow. It was really trippy to be sitting in the theater with popcorn and see Amazon Studios pop up on the screen. But it's happening. And so Apple can't get left. Like, they got to stay in there. And, you know, Steve was always kind of sort of about it. So there's great stuff. Check out Queer Eye is another great Netflix show. Travelers is a great Netflix show. You'll find them. You got to understand, when they do put the crap stuff out there, it's because they can afford to put the niche stuff to keep those subscribers happy.
I sort of wish they'd save their money and put it into films or TV programs, real quality though, because there is so much rubbish on Netflix and Amazon and so forth. Yeah, but it does put the average puncher up, I think.
You remember B-horror movies? Like, that stuff is rubbish, but there's whole genres of folks who love that stuff.
I mean,
but they're weirdos, aren't they?
James?
No, I was just going to say, you know, I was into Netflix when it first came into the UK, and it was appalling. I mean, it was films that were 7 or 5 years old, and I just didn't see the point of it. And then I jumped on, obviously being in France now, I got access to the UK stuff. And I'm just absolutely flabbergasted that, you know, I don't have a TV aerial here. I don't have a satellite. Everything I get through is through my Apple TV. So it really is just Netflix. And I'm blown away. Me and my wife sit there every night and go, and I can honestly say, I don't think it's anything I've actually pressed stop and gone, this is awful, I can't watch it. We sat and watched a whole season of Defenders the other day, watched Jessica Jones season 1. I know these were Marvel things, DC, etc. But there's just great documentaries on there as well. And I can honestly say, for the money, it just beats anything on the market. And I think I heard it was 55 million subscribers in the US alone, which is an incredible amount of money they're pulling in just from the US alone. Would that be about right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. They've got to remember that financially their own content is far more cost effective. Because although they're paying the production costs, they're not paying any copyright licensing on it, repeats or anything like that. There's no royalties going out. It's their content. So it makes more sense to make your own content.
Yeah.
But the problem that they've got at the moment, I think, and I agree with Greeny to a certain degree on this, I put it in the chat room, there's a pile of fast-made shite out there that is consuming all the good stuff. You know, the Unibomber stuff is brilliant. That was awesome as a show. And there was a film I watched the other week that was brilliant, awfully good. But I can't remember what the new one is that they're pushing with the guy out of House of Cards that played the opposing presidential candidate in the last season. And he's just, it's dire. It's awful. Crap. But someone will like it.
But then you look at big stars like Will Smith and Shine. It was just absolutely incredible. I put off looking at that show.
It's a film.
And just absolutely blown away that this is a Netflix-made film with Will Smith in. And I can't believe I didn't watch it the day it landed, because me and my wife were thoroughly entertained.
But Shine needed backstory, and they'll go to it as a TV series at some point, and Will Smith won't be in it. And there's your problem. Sure.
But that's something that they've nailed it. You know, you're hooked on those characters. But again, the world's so much in that world that they managed to give you a brief look at that, those characters and what the kind of, you know, got Elf Town and all that kind of stuff. I loved it. It's very clever.
It was brilliant.
Did they call it Shining UK? Bright here.
Bright. Yeah, it was Bright. Not
sorry.
Sure.
Excuse me. Bright. Yes.
Yeah. All right. You guys are messing with me.
Yeah, no, it was Bright. I was wondering. sorry, I missed something too. So what, again, getting it back to the Apple thing and what Apple's doing, I think I'm just very excited because it does seem like Apple is spending a little less, at least initially, which I think is good. They're kind of dipping their toe in, but in a serious way. And then more importantly, they do seem to be, as near as I can tell, based on the shows that they're signing and the talented people that are behind them, they seem to be focusing on quality. I think it was just today or yesterday. I don't watch the show, but I have a lot of friends who are big fans of Bob's Burgers, and they just signed a new show from the creator of that with a bunch of big stars behind it, like Stanley Tucci and Kristen Bell and Josh Gad. And then, like I said, they're doing the M. Night Shyamalan thing. They're doing several projects with Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston. I think they've got like a drama series coming out. They signed the Battlestar Galactica guy, Ron Moore, to do the sci-fi thing that I was talking about earlier. You've got the Amazing Stories reboot. There's something from the creators of Peaky Blinders that they're working on, something called C. I
love that show.
They've got Octavia Spencer coming in a show. I mean, like Kristen Wiig is doing some comedy stuff, and I think she's pretty funny. So, they signed the La La Land guy for a drama series. So, like, this is like serious talent that they're putting behind this stuff, and they're spending some money. So, I'm expecting it to be pretty good. We'll see. I mean, out of all that, you have to imagine there's going to be a few things that are worth watching.
The quotes that are listed here, Hugh says, we're all in, completely all in, he says. And then this is something that they've derived themselves. Apple isn't going to buy a company like Netflix or Disney, though, because the focus is not quantity, it's quality. Huzzah. That's what we need.
Yeah, the bigger challenge for Apple, and they already lost one show because of this, but I, as a parent, getting back to some of the parental stuff too, it's also been said that they're really focusing on making sure the stuff is... I'm not going to go as far as say family friendly, but the mandate that's sort of been said is that anything that they're putting on the network needs to be able to be shown on an Apple TV and an Apple store. So right. I'm thinking they're not going much beyond PG-13 level, which as a parent, I somewhat appreciate because it gives me choices. A lot of those other networks are doing really, really violent, really sexual, really, adult sort of content, Netflix and Amazon, HBO and Showtime and all those folks. And so to have a choice of programming that, hey, or here's something we can sit down and watch as a family, which is very often hard to do. I'm looking forward to.
Do any of you guys let your kids watch Dragons and Titties, AKA Game of Thrones?
Watch which?
Dragons and Titties, Game of Thrones.
No, not interested. No.
Dragons and Titties. Amazing, amazing show.
Not interested.
It's the best show. It's the best show ever written, man. Period.
You and you don't know what you're missing. I promise you.
It's amazing.
I mean, I really.
You doesn't even watch it too. Blinders and Peaky Blinders is in Birmingham.
My kids can watch that stuff when they're 18.
How dare you? I am in the city of Peaky Blinders, and Peaky Blinders as a story is utter bollocks.
Yeah, but it's so good, though. Who cares if it's bollocks? Batman is bollocks, but it's good.
Stephen Knight has done a great job in telling a story, but the problem was the story that he's told, he's actually set it 30 years too late. Because they were all wound up by the time they got to the turn of the 18th and 19th century. The turn of the 19th century. It didn't happen the way that they said, but some of the characters are real, but they're completely different in that they're not the correct character. Alfie Solomon is a real character, but he didn't do what they said they did. And the guy that's the villain at the end of the season one, they've got him all dressed up and he ends up dying, but he's not, he wasn't the villain. He was one of the, he is the original Peaky Blinder.
That's the same with all the Viking shows. They juxtapose Ragnar and the Umbria people back and forth to wrong datelines.
Right. Here's my question, fellas, right? So, Apple has updated Made for iPhone to license USB-C ports Lightning to 3.5mm output cables.
Yeah.
We couldn't be getting an iPhone with USB-C on the bottom, could we?
Oh, I wish we could.
I wish we could. I mean, I
love Apple to death. Mm. But I do get fed up of their non-standard port connectors and cables that cost so much more than just, if you go to Amazon, you can get them for a couple of quid.
Because the thing I've read in this story, unless I've read it wrong, it's the made for iPhone program. It's definitely the MFI stuff. And it's got USB-C ports and, Lightning to 3.5. So they're talking about there's USB-C cables for iPhone. No, surely.
I think it's far more likely that the port on the iPhone goes away completely than you get USB-C, honest.
No port at all.
I agree. Yeah, no port at all.
Well, they added wireless charging. Most people Wi-Fi sync their phone at this point that I know of, or most of it's actually being streamed from the cloud. There's actually very less and less people that are even syncing their devices anymore. I think we're not far off of a iPhone without a physical connection port.
Yeah.
It's madness. It reminds me of Monty Python, when they chop off the Knight of Knee, I think. They chop off his arms and they chop off his legs.
I'm not looking forward to it. I'm just saying I think the next step is no port, not a different port.
I mean, I miss a bloody CD-ROM or a DVD drive on my Mac. It's just ridiculous.
If you don't have a port in something, to manufacture that device and not have that port in there means you're saving a lot of money. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Of
money.
Yeah, yeah, loads. And it's a watering point. And
water and dust, mold mildew.
We know the iPhone 10, they said on stage, this is the future of smartphones. It's here, and we've got it to show you. And, the wireless charging was one of the biggest things. I didn't really get that until I actually bought my first wireless charger. It cost me £17. I'm not going to spend 65 quid on a Belkin one, but I got one for £17. And it is phenomenal. I just put it on there. It sits upright. And it's just one of the best things I've ever bought. I love it. And I want to buy three more. Once you've had a wireless charger, plugging it in and then seems old-fashioned.
It comes in handy really well here traveling too, because I'm not in my standard environment, so my autonomous habits don't exist. And so to be able to just throw it on the Sumi, I bought a Sumi one, it was like $19. It was a pick of the week a couple of shows back. But it's the fast charge compatible, and just literally to be able to walk in a hotel and sit this sucker on the stand next to the bed, or the other one here is on the desk, and just charge the phone without thinking about it. Because nothing sucks worse than traveling and falling in after a travel bender and forgetting to plug in your phone. Like, I've done it before, and I've done it at Macworld, and being on the shore floor the next day, walking around with the anchored battery and cable tripping all over the place. So yeah, it's something about just being able to just drop it on that and not even think about it. Wireless charging is the bomb. Slow, but it's the bomb.
Yeah, it's definitely there.
Why are you laughing, Brett?
Well, I bought three more. I put one in my kitchen, one by my bed, one by the TV, and one in my office. And yeah, every room I'm in, I just set my phone down and it's always charged. Doesn't matter if it's slow, because as long as I'm at the house, it's pretty much always charging. And then when I'm gone, it's, I've got,
it's ready.
I think I get a full 8 hours out of battery in this thing. So
I'm sat on the train yesterday.
It's probably 10.
And I've taken my phone with me, and I only want to watch my phone. And I watch the Beam app on Virgin Media, which is on Virgin Trains, which is excellent. I've got my earphones in, my AirPods, and I'm watching away. And I couldn't do that if I had to take a wireless pad charger with me and try and prop it up with my phone. I don't see the wireless charging bit's great for when you're in the office or when you're at home, but it's subtle use if you're traveling.
Absolutely. Well, in Japan, the trains have it into the tray table. So when you pull the tray table down, you sit your corner, it charges.
I'll have a word with Virgin.
Well, an Anchor makes magnetic car mounts that also quick charge when you snap them to the dash.
I was going to say, you think we'll see cars this year with a charging pad in the console? You can just drop your phone in the center and it's charging.
A lot of them already have it on the higher end, from what I understand, and that's going to trickle down as well. I mean, that's the point, is as this gets more ubiquitous, that's exactly what you're going to have, Ewan. It's just like you have more and more places that just have USB ports and in the wall plugs or USB sockets, places you're going to see wireless.
GB Rednecki in the chat room says, and forgetting that these devices are mobile, so fix pads to fix them on and charge them on isn't going to work. It will do if you walk in your Starbucks and you've got something there, or if you're in the tray table in your train and it has happens to have it, then great.
Well, remember, you can get those battery packs now with wireless chargers built on the top of them. So you can actually lay it on top of the wireless charger now, which I think is really cool. Mm. And I think we're going to see that kind of area explode in the idea that you can just rest your actual device on top of a charger, which I do like that as well.
There's a really cool coffee and pastry shop in Osaka called Pablo Coffee. And when you go to Pablo and you sit down at the table, the whole center strip in the table, Japan's cool. They do community tables instead of like, you know, 2 and 4 a piece. They'll have a long table that sits like 30 people and it's public. And everybody knows when you sit down, you sit next to the next person. You don't put these weird bubble caps in between. But the whole center row is a Q charger, so everybody just pops their phone there. It works good in that country because you get up and go get your cream, and no one's going to steal your phone. But you do that in America, your phone would be ghost. But it is cool to see that they thought somebody had the wherewithal when they were building that place out to build Q chargers in the middle of all the tables, which is pretty sick.
Are you saying Q?
I like to sit on one of those tables and rub the a person's thigh next to me, just slowly.
Is he on about? Get him away from the mic.
Boy.
Anyway.
It's because you're all smooth in your Don Johnson jacket. You can't start going around touching people up.
No, just slowly. It's on not the 80s. Anyway, listen.
Go on.
We're talking about phones, and I know this is an Apple show.
No, you were talking about sexual misdemeanors. Or worse, full sexual assault. But go on.
No, I never have actually done that, by the way.
Go on, Grinny, for God's sake, finish what you're saying.
But it's the banana phone. I love it. I absolutely love it. I would swap my iPhone out in a heartbeat for the new Nokia banana phone. I think it's brilliant.
Really?
Yeah, too, right?
I seem to recall you saying on a podcast not 2 weeks ago, I would be ashamed if I swapped my phone for a Nokia. I love my iPhone.
Did I say that?
Yeah, I'll dig you the clip out, mate. But you definitely said I would be ashamed if I wasn't on an iPhone and I'd went to a Nokia or some other Android rubbish.
Ah, Android, yes. I will agree.
That's what Nokia's running.
The new banana phone is not...
it's running Android.
It's not Android.
I'm sure it's running Android.
No, it's not honestly.
Right?
It's not what?
It's he's talking about the Matrix phone.
Yeah, I know.
Is that a smartphone now?
Yeah, and it's an Android powered one.
Mm. It says it runs KaiOS
8110.
It says it runs KaiOS. That is.
Yeah, it's supposed to compete against Android, but it's not built on Android.
Oh, okay then. Oh, well, in that case then, but you did say Nokia as well, though, Will, so but I'll let you off because it's not running. And I thought it ran Android, I have to say.
There's no
trigger on it as well, don't you?
But
it doesn't pop out like the original one. You have to pull it out.
I used to have the original one. It's probably why I'm sort of turned on by it. And it does 30 days... 30 days of standby if you want it to.
Because anybody who owns one doesn't talk on the phone in order to use the battery.
Because the most graphical work it does is play Snake.
Come on.
The point being is 30 days, or I'm guessing a week on one charge with sort of regular use. And it's 4G, and you can connect it to your Mac. And it looks awesome. Just looks a great phone.
I'm going to dig out that clip for you, Will. Thanks, mate. We'll discuss
it. Yeah, but I was probably talking about the Nokia smartphone.
Okay.
Different things.
We have to get back to Doc saying Q charger. What do you mean Q? You mean Qi chargers?
Qi.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, it was an opportunity to correct Doc's pronunciation.
I take my corrections. I don't have to be told 5 years later that it's karaoke and not karaoke. I'll be cheat charger. I got my lesson. I'm done.
We need to do an album, right? Which is Will's Crucified Classics, and we also need to release a book, which is Doc's piss pronunciation of words and made up words. Made up words is a thing because Merriam-Webster says so. The dictionary we had to make up to justify a corrupt language.
Yeah,
Doc has a go about my pronunciation of ukulele.
Ukulele, isn't it?
It's ukulele.
He has got. You've got to say he's in the right place in the world to give you a bit of shit over that, though, dude.
Yeah, I'll go with
emojis.
Merriam-Webster's can add what it adds whatever it fancies every year. Just to
emojis. It's happening.
I love it. It's just amazing.
That's a good sign of language.
Doc makes up a word, right, that's complete bollocks, and then he points to Merriam-Webster for justification of his bollocks word, which isn't it's not a proper dictionary.
No.
It's a dictionary for made-up bollocks words.
No, but I've always made a word.
I love it when he shouts because his mic cuts out.
I'm not shouting.
Yeah, when you raise your voice, your mic cuts out. Brilliant. Awesome.
Yeah, it's because I'm using canned shit.
This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. Please support them because they support us. They've renewed our servers for yet another year. This will be the 10th year that we've been with them. So please, please, please give them all the support that you possibly can. BritishTechNetwork.com/sponsors if you would like to offer them something. Take your business to them, any domain names, VPS, VPN, co-location services, loads and loads of stuff that you can help you with. Dedicated servers, it's up to you. Please check them out and please give them support and give us a shout out. If you go on to Twitter, everybody please this week make a point of going on Twitter and going, thanks at UK2 for supporting at British Tech, because they love the fact that you've got so much brand loyalty from us all. Brilliant. We've got a support page as well if you'd like to support us. We don't charge anything for any subscriptions here for advertising or anything like that. They're just people that help us with infrastructure stuff. We are a free network and we're going to keep it that way, I hope. But there are things that we need, like the microphones that we've got and that type of stuff. So please, 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 if you can go to britishtechnetwork.com/subscriptions, subscribe for $5, $10 or $20 a month. And we will be sending you special stuff as well as part of that for your subscription to say thank you very much for your ongoing support. There's a few people who've given us a fair bit of money, like $20 a month now for probably about 5 or 6 years. So without those people, we really would be lost. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we've had some reviews as well. We've got one review here from America. It's from March. And they've said, this is a well-crafted podcast for Mac, Mac OS, iOS, and anything else Apple, for the Cupertino aficionado and others. I think they've posted this on the wrong podcast. But there you go. Some podcasts are an acquired taste, but we're not. The British Tech Network is the Mac show. You'll enjoy it straight away. Enjoy.
Wow. That's lovely.
Very kind. Thank you very much, March. That's very much appreciated. If you'd like to give the network any kind of reviews, but don't forget the news show as well. Carl does a news show every morning. We pay him to do the news show every single day. And he does it religiously. And please, please, please give him feedback. Send him some stories if you know anything that's going on. But also, please support Kyle in every way you possibly can and give him some reviews too, because it would be great if we could have a look at those. Steady on, Muller, don't fall over. Right. Where can we get your cool thing? Start us off, Doc. Where can we get your cool thing?
I like the pivot.
Yeah, that was so good save. Swift. That was so swift. Oh my god, that was super, super swift. I gotta give it to you. come back to me because I'm too busy right now.
All right, man.
All right. It's funny. I was trying to figure out something to recommend, and I was going to recommend something that I think I had already recommended, and then realized I had something in my doc that's probably the perfect pick. And it's built into everybody's Mac, and it is terminal. So I am going to recommend that people who don't know how to use command line on their Mac, do some Googling, do some searching. I'll link to a, I like Tuts Plus. They have a good like basics tutorial on learning to use the Mac terminal and the power of, you know, the Unix-based operating system that is under your GUI. And there's lots of really cool things that you can do. As a matter of fact, I'm sure Brett already knows this one, but Brett, you know, you had that issue with your screen going to sleep earlier. If you type caffeinate into the terminal, it will keep your Mac from going to sleep or turning off, and then to disable it, just hit Control C. So that's in this Tuts Plus article. And Ewan, weren't you guys doing a terminal thing at one point on BTN?
For what?
Or was it?
No. I know what you're talking about, Adam. So Bart Buckshots, who used to come on here all the time, has a really great series of podcasts called Taming the Terminal, which is basically Bart teaching Allison Sheridan, our other homie, how to be a terminal goddess. And it's pretty great.
I'll find the link for that too. Yeah, that is a great series too. No, you and I think I was confusing. Somebody was going to teach somebody on BTN.
Yeah, we've still got that as a plan. Anders is going to teach me something, but we haven't done it yet.
Okay.
It's just time.
But regardless, it's a good thing to know. And, you know, even if it's for changing little sort of hidden settings on your Mac, it comes up quite frequently. And if you haven't taught yourself a little bit of terminal, it's worth knowing at least a little bit just of that thing. You know, open it up. Don't be too afraid of it. Obviously be careful and do backups. That needs to be said, but you know, don't be afraid of it. There's lots of powerful things that you can do in there. I use it for opening apps. I use it for all kinds of different tasks throughout my day. And I always forget that it's there because it's just something that I turn to. And I have to use it a little bit more being a developer, but I think everybody can benefit from a little bit of terminal knowledge.
Excellent, Pete, mate. Thank you very much. Brett, what do you have for a cool thing?
I'm trying to decide between a nonviolent iOS game and a murder tool.
Do both.
I think. All right. So the game, I haven't kept up. You probably already picked it, but Alto's Odyssey.
No, go ahead.
I don't think it's been picked yet.
Okay.
No.
Great game.
Alto's Adventure was highly addictive, and the design and sound design of it was spectacular. And a friend grabbed me on Skype the other day and was like, "So what's your high score in Alto's Odyssey?" And I said, "Do you mean Alto's Adventure?" Like, oh no.
Oh.
He said, "I'm telling you about an app." And yes, he was. And as of right now, my high score is 82,000. But it's only been a week. So I'm putting a link into the chat. It's a gorgeous, it's an endless runner. You could call it a snowboarding game, but it's actually more of just kind of a video game. That's Adventure. That's not Odyssey.
Oh, right. Okay.
The one that just popped up on the screen.
Yeah. Got you.
And Odyssey has...
Odyssey is
just a slight evolution of it.
Gotcha.
But it's fun.
So it's the deserty looking one.
Yes. It is primarily on sand. And occasionally on temple ruins.
So what, do you just have, is it like a constant downhill thing where you just have to keep yourself...
Yeah. Skiing? Right. You, it's one button control. You have jump. And the longer you hold jump, you do backflips if you hold it long enough, and you have to have timing, and then you can grind on anything that's not ground. And you have to hit, like, there's always three goals. Like, you have to do, like, two backflips over a chasm, and once you hit those three, you move up a level, and as you move up levels, you get new players with, you know, they're either faster, or they're heavier, or they're lighter, so they can flip further.
Plus
it's just a game you can sit and play for hours and not even realize it.
Yeah, that's what worries me.
Yeah, it's not good if you're short on time or bad at time management.
Yeah, play in the morning and end up with dead legs.
Unless you're like me, and the thing is like you'll get sucked in, but each individual run is not very long. So if you can pry yourself away from it, there's many opportunities I found when playing it to to put it down. It's just
it's you can't a good put it waiting down. Room. That's game. The problem. Yeah.
Excellent. So do you want the murder weapon too?
Definitely.
I just picked up the, I don't know how to pronounce this. Meisen chef's knife.
Right. Okay.
It's a $65 knife. It was reviewed more highly than $150 plus knives in the same category. It's a perfectly balanced, obviously razor sharp to start with, but it's easy to sharpen over time. And what I love is that it's kind of a hybrid between Japanese style and the Western style curved blades. Perfect for holding by the top and doing rapid chops. Not great for rocking on, but still capable of it. So I'm loving that.
So why have you not decided to just chop vegetables with it? Why have you bought it for murder?
So vegetable chopping vegetables is a form of murder, don't you think? I like to acknowledge that it has the capability.
Oh, okay, right. So it may also be used as, even though I don't intend to, officer.
Yes, absolutely, sir.
Beautiful.
Mom. James, you want to tell Brett why it's called the Meisen?
Go on.
I'm waiting for James. He's the French guy here. Meisen plan.
That's what it's for. Je désirais,
James can't speak French.
Très mal.
That's why James is going for dinner with two English birds later on, is because he can't speak French.
I remember Ewan swore at me and told me to say the bird. He just said it.
I didn't say what word.
Embarrassing.
I didn't not do a bleep. Bird. I didn't do a bleep.
Okay. Anyway, I got a...
Oh, you're going now, are you? You just decided you're going now, Doc.
No, I was waiting for you.
No. I was going to go to James next.
Go.
Okay, I'm ready. So I've done a lot of sort of editing over the past, weeks, loads of editing. And I have suffered, being an Apple fanboy, you kind of get a bit blinded by the fact that, you know, when you have a keyboard, it looks like this, and it's wireless, and it serves, it looks nice in the shop when you go and buy your iMac, and obviously I've got MacBook Pro, so I like to keep my stuff first, or Bluetooth, not, you know, keep my Mac raised up higher. So I have suffered, and I'm going to use that word, I have suffered with this Apple keyboard. It is the newest one that got with the rechargeable back. And I didn't realize I was suffering until I've had to edit like a demon over the past few weeks. So I went on Amazon and I bought this, and I can honestly say I've had it for about 3 days. It's a bit of a monster, I know.
Oh my God.
It is the...
it's a table!
Corsair. It's a Corsair gaming rubber-domed multicolor RGB keyboard. But it is absolutely epic. I'd forgotten how good a keyboard could be. It's obviously got a Windows key built into it now. That's actually part of it. So if you think of the Windows key as Command, you're not going to go too far wrong when you're editing Final Cut 10 or like me, InMotion 5 a lot. It has multicolored backlit keys, so you can have it in like a rainbow effect going through the keyboard. I do have a Corsair mouse, and obviously the multicolored mouse mat also, so I'm a bit of a fan. But for £50... I didn't realize this, but there's keyboards out there for like over £150. So this for £50, it is their kind of their basic range, but oh my God, it is superb. I've only been using it for 3 days, but I've gamed on it and I've edited. And what can I say? It's a joy. It's nice to have a keypad back as well. I didn't realize how much I've missed that. What a pick.
Are those mechanical keys?
They're not mechanical. They are... Because this is the £50 one, I think they've got their market separated between the dome one. What's great about it has it's got G1 to G6 programmable keys on the left-hand side. So what you can do is, without any software, you press the memory button, you perform the kind of what you want, you perform the action you want, and then assign it a G1, so G2, G5. And it's very good. But yes, I must stress, it isn't mechanical. I know some people want to get a bit anal when it comes to keyboards, but this one is fab. But I've only had it for 3 days, I think, and I'm loving it.
I've got my old white keyboard with the number pad plugged in. Yes. I love this.
It's a great keyboard, that is.
I love this keyboard. I will
I miss that Aeropad so much.
Yep. I miss it. When I don't have to miss it. I've got
it to
five
the
of these.
Full height left and right.
I love this keyboard. Won't change.
It's so hard to find these with your fingers without looking.
That's what you forget. You look at the profile on MacBook keyboard. It is so thin. And of course, I've had this and it feels like a giant. My fingers are extended, but there's a nice little kind of rest that's built into, and you can detach it if you want, that's built into the keyboard. So you have to get used to the height, which is something I'm actually, obviously, muscle memory. I'm learning that now, but what a device. I'm absolutely loving it. The best 50 quid I've spent in a long time.
Cool. I like that.
There you go. There you go. Will,
what have you got for us, mate?
Well, it's more of a sort of a programming thing, really. Sort of progressive web app builders. There's a few, so you can get free ones from Google, and Microsoft are really behind it as well, and Apple too. So it seems to be the next big thing. The one I'm playing around with at the moment is from a company called Good Barber, as in, you know, cutting your hair, .com. And that's, you know, it's okay. If you don't know what progressive web apps are, or PWA, check it out, because it is going to be the next big thing. And it basically replaces app stores from whatever vendor, and it's really cool. So I'm trying to build a bridge Mac PWA app for it, and the key thing to it is it works on whatever platform, whether it's mobile, desktop, laptop, or whatever, and whichever whether it's Microsoft or Google or Apple or whatever, it doesn't matter. So check it out if you're interested in coding. PWA is a great way to look.
Goodbarber.com.
Yeah.
PWA.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Apple are investing really heavily in it.
Excellent. Good pick.
Create your app. Wow.
Doc. He's looking bored.
Are they billing HTML? What?
Your missus in the background, mate. Hello.
Karen, Ewan can see you.
Hello. Well, she's dressed. It's
he said
right.
Hi. He said hi.
She's dressed. It's fine. Hey. You're not doing
Oh, lovely.
Anyway, hey. The question for Will, are they giving you HTML dude, skins dude, and calling dude, it an app, or is it really an app?
She's texting her boyfriend,
no,
dude.
It's Doc, it's basically single-page web apps built in things like Angular.
Yeah. All right. I love those. We can make apps without program. I think people
it's a lot more.
Brett. I think people like Adam and Brett should run a campaign to divulge all of these things is never mind. Anyway, I have a like a tip kind of thing that you may have forgotten about when you travel. It's good to know. Upload certain things on Netflix so you can watch them offline. And also I have a Plex Pass lifetime doohickey, and it also allows you to take stuff offline and take it with you. So when you're about to travel, rather than being stuck with whatever comes on the hotel Spanker Vision or being able to like have a crappy connection where you can't, you know, sort of see stuff you want to see, using either Netflix or my brain just went dumb, or Plex Pass, you can kind of like set these things up for offline use and sort of have them ready to go whenever you're traveling. So that was a quick little tip. But my cool thing, you guys might get a kick out of, we bought this for the wood shop, and it's known as a bug assault too. It's a stupid infomercial that comes kind of dumb, but we bought it as a joke for our shop, and it actually is pretty cool. So what you do is you take table salt. You can buy it from Amazon. It costs about $40, but you can take table salt and put it into the receptacle on this guy, and you basically have an air gun that shoots salt at bugs when you're having your lunch or your picnic or whatever. And so we have a problem where the flies like to come in every time we're trying to eat lunch. And now we just sit around with our little yellow hand cannon and we blast all the flies away. And it's cool because how it knocks them out, it doesn't spray fly guts all over the place. It basically just knocks them out. And then while they're knocked out, you can swish them away permanently. But it's a lot of fun. And it's a really cool way without spraying pesticides all over the shop in order to get rid of bugs.
Doc, you know that's cool. You know that's assault, right?
Yeah, that's why it's bug assault. That's literally the name. Bug assault.
I can't take credit for that. I've got to give that to Muller. That's Muller's joke. You put that in the Slack room.
But it is really, really, really fun. And, you know, with spring coming up for you, you might want to get one because it works. I always thought it was dumb. I watched it on TV for like 2 years and we finally bought one of it.
Can you post a link? I got really confused when you said table saw and then...
table salt. Man. Salt. S-A-L-T.
Oh, salt. Okay.
Well, table salt, okay. He's going to get him just usual sodium chloride in a bottle. He's not going to get him a super gun that shoots... He's thinking he's getting a super gun that shoots salt at flies.
Correct.
Yeah.
With like a set of crosshairs on it or something.
We do have one of those table salts that fills the galvanic electricity from in and ducks the blade in so you can't cut yourself. And they test it by putting hot dogs on it. I never want to be the person to see if it really works, but in theory, it works really well.
Okay. But Brett's still looking for a cannon, I think. But there we go.
It's literally three words, bug a salt.
Bug a salt. There we go. My cool thing is the Manfrotto single arm two section camera bracket. There you go. It's got three little bits on it so you can pivot it. There we go. And it's got this bit here, which is kind of cool because you can attach one half of that to an existing lighting stand and the other one to the arm itself. And then you can put a camera on the end of the arm. So you can end up with a little tripod from nothing or another lighting bracket. The only problem I've got with this thing is it doesn't hold my 400 watt lighting heads. They're a bit too heavy for it. And it won't hold a DSLR with battery pack or battery grip, but it will hold a standard 5D Mark III. There you go. And it's kind of cool because you've got the bracket at the front there and you can put your iPhone on it as well. So it's perfect if you want to clamp it up and then move around and stick your iPhone on a little camera bracket thing for iPhone. There we go. £40 though. Not cheap. I bought two. One of them's going back. One of them's going back just because it doesn't hold me lighter, which I wanted. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
All over the internet, DOCRCK, and on the podcast at solid.fm.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Adam, where would you be?
You can find me at maccast.com or maccast on social media and occasionally over at the iOS show at theiosshow.com. And I'm hoping Will jump in. I didn't mean to undersell the PWA.
Oh, well, you did. You've upset me very deeply. It's not like an old school web app. It's taken. Right.
We've done it.
Yeah, but Adam casts aspersions and you can use it offline as well. That's the point.
Johnson here is going to jump in his speedboat he won on Bullseye in 1985 and speed over there and shoot you with his Glock.
Yeah, I certainly am.
He'll stab you with his meso knife. Brett, where can we get you, mate? Great to have you back, pal. Must come on again soon.
Thanks. I'm at brettterpstra.com, TT Scoff on all social media services, and you can catch Overtired and Systematic over at ESN.fm.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Mr. Rickards, where are you? Not where you will be.
Oh, no, I'm going to run out of thought any minute. I'm just on Twitter at James Rickards, and I've got projects coming, so hopefully share that soon. But yeah, just get me on Twitter at James Rickards. Thank you.
And last but by no means least, William Green.
You can find me at britishmac.com, or you can follow me if you really want to British Mark on Twitter.
And you're coming back on the big show later, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yeah, it's what, 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock on the big show. Yes.
Good. I'll be there.
Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week on Friday. Back to the normal day next week because my wife won't be going away with all her mates having a nice weekend spa. Lucky girl.
Right.
And leaving me with the kids. See you all next week. Thanks for listening.